This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, November 2nd, 2018, the commemoration of the faithful departed or All Souls, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is a sad verse of Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ crying out with a loud voice and breathing his last. When anyone dies, it is sad. As long as we are on this side and they are on the other, we are sad. Time can deaden, maybe the word callous, our feelings. And I don't mean they go away, but they can soften a bit. Nonetheless, still sad. Special days come, and there is sadness. Birthdays, Christmas, things of that nature. There is sadness. Death is sad. Holy Church, yesterday, venerated All Saints. If you were here last night, I was actually thinking, I might be pushing a little bit much on this, but I wanted to make a point as to how much we have to strive to gain entry into heaven. The gate is narrow. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, many are called, but few are chosen. We have to strive beyond imagination to receive the beatific vision. Most of us will not strive hard enough. Most of us will not attain the beatific vision at the moment of our death. For them, for us, there is purgatory. I don't know how many Catholics the church doesn't believe that anymore. You better hope with all your being that there is a purgatory, because only the perfect can get into the heavens, and most of us do not die perfectly. So thank God there is a purgatory. It is a dogma of Holy Church. There's a purgatory because we need to fix things that we did not fix on this side. It is not a place of learning. Those who do speak of it, it's just a place of learning. It is not. It is a place of torment. It is a place of expiation, expiating sins. And they're much harder to expiate on that side than they are on this side. Simple things we do on this side cover a myriad sins. We receive plenary indulgences. A plenary indulgence means that all temporal consequences of sin are done away. We don't even take advantage of those and do the things that we can before death to make sure that all our temporal consequences for sin are done away. But God, in his fathomless mercies, has given us purgatory. I said yesterday, we celebrated, and most of you were here, hopefully you were here, or you were in sin, if you did not go to Mass on a day of obligation. We celebrated the saints who had the beatific vision. The Roman Martyrology, which is the manual of martyrs that if you do the old breviary, every single morning there are a list of saints in the Roman Martyrology. The Roman Martyrology for this day says, and I quote, "Today, Holy Church, their common mother, after having with due praise celebrated all those her children who are now rejoicing in heaven, at once zealously sets about helping by her powerful intercession with Christ, her Lord and spouse, all those who are suffering in purgatory, that with all speed they may be able to reach the company of the citizens in heaven." It is amazing to me what we see in our day. if you went to another parish today around this place, I almost guarantee you, not being a betting person, but I almost guarantee you, and I put money on it, what you saw were white vestments. And you heard a bunch of nice prayers about God doing great things for dead people and that how all of our relatives are in heaven. That's not true. That's not true. Many of our relatives are in purgatory. Many of our benefactors are in purgatory, suffering torments because they did not expiate the sins in this world that were necessary for the beatific vision. It is ridiculous to have All Souls Day if that's the case. It's just like a continuation of yesterday. Yay for the saints. I'll take tomorrow's All Souls. Yay for all the souls that are in heaven with Jesus. There's no reason to have it. It defies logic. Today is for something different, like the Martyrology said. We immediately start to think of the souls who are departed who are not in heaven. They're in purgatory. Praying for the dead as we do is scriptural. The first reading today from 2 Maccabees speaks of the ancient Jews praying for the dead. Tertullian in the 2nd century talks about masses and prayers for the dead. It's not a new innovation, something that the Catholic Church came up with to make money. Holy Church has, since time began, in every single celebration of the Mass, remembered the dead, prayed for them. In the Roman canon, there is what is referred to the memento of the dead. That's that part of the Mass where we hear every, and you know, rubrically, it's different. The Mass for the dead is different. It's different because we care about the dead. We care about those who are still part of the community of the saints. And yes, there are three manifestations of Holy Church. The Church Militant, that's us. The Church Triumphant, that's the holy souls that have the vision of Trinity in an undivided sense, the saints, and there is the Church Suffering. The Church Suffering. They're suffering, but they are still the spouses of our Lord Jesus Christ. The 1962 Roman Missal says, commenting on All Souls Day, the blessed souls are his eternal spouses. And they are most grateful to those who obtain their deliverance from prison or even mitigate their torments. By way of an earthly analogy, could you imagine if you have a master, your boss, and he's engaged to someone. He loves this person dearly, absolutely dearly, and their betrothed winds up in a dungeon. Horrible suffering, terrible place. What do you think that your master or your boss, to use a contemporary analogy, what do you think he would think of you if you were the catalyst of delivering that person? If you begged the jailer for that person's deliverance and they were let out? Or if you could just at least mitigate, lessen their sufferings just a little bit. Just a bit. Your boss would be extremely happy that you did that for his spouse, his betrothed. That's what our Lord Jesus thinks about when we do things for his spouses who are in purgatory. That's why we offer these prayers for them, because it will make Jesus happy. But we have to understand that our prayers for them are different now. Talking about the Mass briefly before, I said it's different. Most Masses, if there's something going on, you add things or you change things a little bit. It's not the case with Masses for the dead. Masses for the dead, you leave things out. Prayers at the foot of the altar. There's no psalm. Why is that? Because psalms are happy for the most part. And at the end of the psalm, we say the Gloria. You don't say glorious. It is not festive. It is not celebratory when we speak of those souls that are suffering. It's sad that they're suffering. There are no blessings given during you notice when the acolyte will bring over the water before Mass during the offertory, that water is always blessed. It's not blessed in a requiem Mass, a Mass for the dead. There are no glories, there's no alleluias historically. Although if you went to Mass today somewhere, not only were they in white, they had an alleluia verse. What's festive about the torments of purgatory? Nothing. There's nothing festive about it. It's solemn. Should we have an organ? No, you shouldn't. Just like in any penitential season of the church's life, there is no organ. It's solemn. There is nothing for which to be happy. And even our prayers are different for the souls in purgatory. When we are in this life, the church has authority over us. Everybody's familiar with the term excommunication. Well, that means you can't receive communion. That means so much more. It means you won't go to heaven because the church says you won't. Because the church has been given the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose in heaven and on earth. I've had people come into my office and look me dead in the face and say, I am going to take this course of action because of my own personal impatience with the way things go. And I say, if you do that, you excommunicate yourself. Well, I guess I'll just have to do that. And they do it. If they would die before restoration, they would go to hell because of their impatience in this world. People excommunicate themselves. Excommunication used to, there was a rite, and people were told directly in church. They generally weren't there, but the church pronounced they are bound to Satan and his demons because they had done something to have themselves excommunicated, taken out of the communion of the church. The church has that authority. She is malfeasant in using it anymore and teaching about it, that she has that authority over her people in the church militant. The church no longer has authority over people that are in purgatory. No authority whatsoever. All the prayers that we make for them are by way of suffrage. We hear that word colloquially, voting? That's not always the way it's been used. Suffrage means a prayer requesting divine help or intercession. Whereas our prayers for people in this world, actually, when you go into the confessional, Father says, I absolve you in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and everybody knows they're absolved. Because why? Because Father has authority to say that. When you go to heaven, Father can't stand at this altar and go, oh, I absolve her for her sins now that she's in purgatory. No more. The church does not have authority. She can just make prayers by way of suffrage. You actually can see this if you pay close attention to the Mass. And if you don't, have never seen this, it's not because you don't pay attention. It's just subtle. In the memento of the dead that I spoke of before, when the dead are mentioned in Mass, it's the only prayer during Mass that rubrics state historically that the priest joins his hands and bows his head. Because even when he prays those prayers at Mass, he has no authority over those people for whom he prays intentions. He's just asking God and the Blessed Virgin Mary to intercede for them, to have mercy on their souls. He has no authority to do it. Every other prayer, there is not a bowing of the head and there is no joining of the hands because the church has authority. Requiem Masses are even more so. What we do for the dead, though, by way of suffrage is absolutely tremendous to think about. This place I talk about of torment. Could you imagine that one day when that final prayer, the necessity of expiating the sin and that loved one of yours or that benefactor, that friend is sprung from purgatory? How happy do you think that soul will be? And they will reciprocate that our Lord Jesus Christ will merit you because you have released one of his spouses from the torments, because the people in purgatory cannot pray for themselves. We must do it for them. We pray intercessions of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Blessed Virgin, and all the saints who have gone before them, whether it be through purgatory or not, and we ask that they intercede for these souls. This is the teaching of your church. This is why days like this are solemn. This is why you should see black vestments regularly at your parish. I try at least once a month, at least, generally more, to have a Mass for the dead on ferial days. Ferial days being there is no memorial or feast day to be celebrated. To try to have Masses for the dead. Priests, if they care, if there is no ferial days, they should celebrate Mass by themselves for the dead. Because that's the only help they can get, is our begging our Lord to have mercy on their souls for being there. This is what we do. This is what Jesus did for us, made intercession for our sins, and now he expects us to be like him. And being like him is caring for all the members of the church, not those we can see, but those, even first and foremost, who we cannot and who cannot do anything for themselves. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.